Speaking about Christ-like headship, it's been 2 weeks since I brought a message on this, and we'll be continuing this morning. I want to go back and recapitulate a little bit, pick up some of the loose ends before we go on. Or should I say restate some premises in brief? Christ-like headship. Now, you may turn to the book of Ephesians while you're waiting, chapter 5. The first scripture we'll be reading this morning in my introduction. The introduction will occupy about half the remaining time. There isn't too much time left, really. The hour slips by so quickly. But man is the head of the wife. Now, that's pretty clearly established in the Word of God, and most everyone knows it. But what is not so often realized is that men usually twist the meaning of the word head. And by head, they think they mean boss. Man's the head, and immediately the mind says head equals boss. But that is not what the scripture is talking about. I said that's not what it's talking about, and I can prove it. By head, it does not mean boss, but it means that he is the head and she is the body. That's what it means. It's talking about a head that's on a body. I want you to notice, and I'm going to prove it to you. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 28. Many men to the wife, I am the head. And if she would answer correctly, she would say, yes, you are the head. How about being a good head for a while? How about fulfilling the type? This body would surely like a good head. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. To love the wives as their own bodies, because the wife is his own body. You see, that means his own body. Well, they're only one. They only got one body. So that means her body, and that means his body. They're tied together. It's so easy to see one aspect of the truth and miss the second. Men ought not just to love her body as his body. He ought to love wife as his own body, as their own bodies. Men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. She is his own body. He's the head and she's the body. And he should love her as his own body in the physical, because in the physical, in the natural, in that sense, he has his own body. He should love her as his own body, because spiritually she is his own body. That's why he says it. Look at the proof of it. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He loveth himself because she is his body. Not only because of ownership that she is his body, but she is his body typologically because he is the head, and spiritually speaking because, in a very real sense, she is his body. And he's the head because his direction is going through her members to bring back that which would benefit the head and the entire body, which is his, and he has a very vital interest in that body. A lot of people are so confused. The marriage is getting such bad shape because right off the bat they misunderstand it. And he says, well, what about me? And she says, well, what about me? And so can you imagine? Unscrew the head and set it down on the table. And there's the body sitting in a chair. And the head says, well, what about the head? What do you mean, what about the head? The head is supposed to be worried about, to cut the hand? Doesn't the head care? That's your tough luck, bub. No. The head cares when that hand is cut. That head cares when the back aches. This head cares when my back aches, I'll tell you. Sure. She said, well, body says, well, what about me? Well, what do you mean, what about you? The job of the body is to fulfill the head. Well, why should the head get it all? The head doesn't get it all. What do you mean the head gets it all? How can the head get it all? It's one life, blood flowing through it all. It's one life. It's one. How can it, what do you mean me? Well, what about me? Wait a minute. When you say me, you mean the head plus the body. That's me. You and me are me. Now maybe the thing's going to look a little different. Maybe we're going to start getting along a little bit. Maybe we're going to start thinking different. We can start thinking right and we'll start acting right. A lot of the problem in our actions is because we're not thinking right. Therefore, we're not acting right. Man tends to walk around and says, I'm the head, you're the body, so I'm the big wheel here, and so I'm going to wheel around and do what I want, and so forth, see? And then she gets upset and says, just because your head looks like a hubcap doesn't make you the wheel, see? And they go back and forth, and the wood starts to build up, see? How come you're the wheel and all this? Wait a minute. People start getting right thinking. Start understanding. This is my body. And if I love my own body, how am I going to treat my own body? Things begin looking a little bit different. For no man, notice the premise, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. What does that all mean? Am I right in my interpretation? Listen. Because no man ever hated his own flesh. What's that got to do about it? You're talking about loving your wife, loving her. So what's that got to do with your own flesh? Because it's talking about your own flesh. She is your flesh. No man ever hated his own flesh. Not in the natural. You don't hate your own flesh. You nourish it. You cherish it. Even as the Lord the church, the Lord loves his church. He cherishes it. He's concerned about his body. You see, we are his body. The Bible never said we are our body, that we are a body, our body, and he is the head. But we are his body. Am I right? We are his body. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. So it isn't that we got all rights and we don't know about what we're so forth. No. We have no rights. We are not our own. We are his body. He owns us. Either way, he's the head. We are the body. No. He is everything. We are members of his body. He is the body and he is the head. We are one. We are members of that body. He owns the body and the head. He is the body and the head. His life is infused into it, and we have been spiritually made one. Not two parts of one. For, see, even as the Lord the church, for we, the Lord the church, for, because we are members of his body, see, of his body. And then in verse 31, because of his flesh and of his bones, and it's not in the Greek manuscripts, not manuscript B or P46 and so forth, 33 and so forth. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. That is the greater mystery of it, and the greater fulfillment. Nevertheless, meaning don't pawn all off, oh, just Christ in the church. No, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. How much do you love your wife? Oh, I love her as yourself. As yourself. Do I treat her like she's my own body? Am I as concerned about her feelings as much as my own? How does she feel? Well, she has no right. She's just a slave. Oh, no. No, no. Is her heart hurt? Is she happy? Have you made her fully happy? Have you satisfied her soul and heart? When she gave her life to you and she came up the aisle in white and her arms was about you and she looked into your eyes and said, honey, I'll make you happy. You said, honey, I'll make you happy. Have you fulfilled that? Have you made her happy? Do you really care what she really thinks? Do you care what her heart says? Or do you only say, we mold to me? Or do you really care? That little baby that was brought up, the father and the mother prayed over it and took care of the diapers and took care of that child. She has her own soul. It's hers for eternity all through her life. She has her own being. She's had her dream. She's dreamed of those yellow curtains every time since she was 9 years old. She's finally 22 years old. She's been dreaming of that house that's so vivid in her mind. Her husband, he hadn't even hardly thought of the house. He thought of his job, and he thought of his car, and he thought of her. He thought of the curls on her head, but he hadn't worried much about the house. And the first day down in the store, she said, oh, honey, look at those yellow curtains. He said, oh, I don't like yellow. 13 years of dreams down the drain that fast by the wave of the almighty hand of authority. Do you really care what her heart really wants? Does it make any difference to you really whether they're yellow or green?
Does it make any as much difference to you as it does to her? Well, I don't like yellow. I know you don't. But what is she like? How much difference does it really make? Have you really thought the thing through? I think these things. I think a little bit of straighter thinking with a little bit of real heart might make a lot less marriage counseling necessary. Make a lot of marriages go a lot better if we know what a head really is. Not straw bot. Head. Body is how I read this in Ephesians. Isn't that what you see this? Is it king and slave? Or is it body and is it head and body? I'm the head. What do you think of when you say head? You think of a head or you think of boss? 99 and 99 one-hundredths of people think of boss and they say head. Am I right? Man has authority? Yes, but not without responsibility. Man is the leader? Yes, but not the driver. Man is king of his house? Yes, but remember, the wife is the queen of the house, not the servant. Man is the captain of a ship? Yes, but remember, the wife is a helpmate. She's a fellow officer. The children are the crew. The other mate, she's the fellow officer. Sure. She has authority over the whole household. That means she's an officer, doesn't it? She speaks with authority. She is the queen. She is the mate. Helpmate. Not the sandals. Man is over woman in a vertical authority? Yes. But he's alongside of her in a working relationship. Remember that 1 Corinthians 11:3 says the head of Christ is God. But also remember the Bible says that Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Does that upset your theology? Also remember the Bible that Jesus is Christ is the head of the church. But also remember we are joint heirs with Christ. Does that hurt your theology? There's a truth that's greater and grander here than a lot of people have ever perceived. They talk about the words, they come out of their mouth, but their souls have never taken hold of them and ever see what it really means in the greater mystery. I am the head of my wife. Yes, but Jesus is the head of his church. Does he whip us all down the lane? What does he do? He has made us to be equal heirs because he loves us so much. Are you willing to make her an equal heir with you because you love her that much? Or do you love her that much? Man does not own his own wife. Most men think they do, but they don't. God does. How can you own her? The Bible says concerning her, she's not her own. She's bought with a price. Did you pay the price? Did you pay the price? Then what makes you think she's yours? She's not yours. She's God's. Who owns the sheep? Well, I'm a shepherd. You're not the greater shepherd. You're not the owner of the sheep. Did you give her a soul? Did you breathe into the breath of life? Is marriage forever? Or is it transitory? You only hired to be her leader downhill, to show her the way, to help her along, be the stronger vessel, take hold of her arm when she crosses the ditches. Your job is to help her over the fences. Your job is to support her, and her job is to support you. Your job is to lead in a horizontal relationship. You do not own her. God owns her. God owns her soul, her life, for eternity. How does Christ exercise his authority over us? I'll tell you how he does it. He woos us in love so we submit to him in love. That's how he does it. Yet he will not allow us to tell him what to do. Yet he is pleased to honor our requests as far as he can. He's so vitally interested in our hearts. He listens to every plea. Jesus doesn't say to his church, well, what about me? He says, I love you. I'll do everything I can for you. I'll even do more for you. I want to do more for you than you want me to. I'll do more for you than you'll let me. In fact, if you'll let me, I'll do more for you. I love you so much. Now, sometimes you don't know as much, and you ask wrong. But now listen, men. Don't carry the spiritual truth beyond the human and try to be a God to your wife, because you can't be a God. Don't take the analogy to the extreme limit and say, well, okay, I'm going to be Christ to her. You can't be Christ to her. The typology falls short and you're stopped. And you have to end up as a human being who's weak and frail with mixed up ideas, and you fall and you make mistakes and flesh come up. You can't be a perfect Jesus Christ tool. But if you're keeping Jesus Christ and keep the love of God, you can go a long ways to fulfilling the type. Some men, I have had men in this assembly come jealous of their wife. She's got talents, and God begins to use her in a music ministry, for example, and he comes and says, "No, honey, you got to stop." And he says, "Well, I don't have a ministry." And she's got a ministry. I mean, that puts her over me. No, it doesn't put her over you. It wouldn't make any difference if your wife had twice the education, three times the talent, and four times the ministry. Its authority still belongs to you. Authority's got nothing to do with talent. You may be an engineer that graduated from four universities, and you may have four times the talent of your supervisor, but guess who's got the authority? Sure. The captain may be more intelligent than the colonel, but guess who's got the authority? You haven't relinquished any authority. Some men think they've got to yell loud, stomp their feet, and let her have nothing, or the manhood goes down the drain. That's not true. The top sergeant bellows loud so people know he's got authority because he's a little bit above them. But the general usually speaks quietly. The colonel speaks quietly. He just says something in a very quiet tone of voice. And his commands are carried out on the run. As a matter of fact, if you ever get a chance, you got a lot of problems, you ever get a chance to go up and see the captain or the colonel, he usually talks to you civilly. Not like the sergeant does, perhaps, but civilly. He talks to you and listens to you, and you find out he's quite a gentleman. He didn't bellow and rank, and say, "Oh, I'm the general here," and so on. He doesn't need to do that. He knows where the authority lies. He doesn't have to put up this big front. You know, I found that 90% of the bullies out here in the life, they are babies. They are frustrated individuals who don't know how to fight, who are so worried about their manhood, they're running around hunting for weaker people than them to push them down to try to convince themselves that they're somebody. And that's the truth. Most bullies do not know how to fight. You take people who are skilled in it and know how, they don't have to do that. No status, yes, who are accomplished, but most of them, they have already a feeling of an ability. They know what they can do, and they don't have to try to prove it to people. I'll tell you more about that, but I won't. Don't be jealous of your wife. Be proud of your wife. I think a man should be proud of every accomplishment of his wife, because that only enhances himself. And wives that ridicule their husbands so that they can be bigger only ridicule themselves. So they think, "Well, why did you marry such a dumb clod? You must have been awful stupid." Is that the best you can come up with? Somebody who's making so many constant faults? It just makes her look terrible. And vice versa. Well, let me read 1 Timothy 3:4 so I can get off my introduction. The time's almost gone. But it's been so long since I've been 2 weeks, I wanted to kind of wrap this back up again before we went on, lest you forget it. One that ruleth well, this is talking about an elder. Should be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children subjection with all gravity. Now, here's where we're starting again, starting this morning, is that he is to rule his house. He is to rule his own house. See? He ruleth well his own house. The King James translation, ruleth, is somewhat colored by the traditional hierarchical structure of that day, kings and so forth and so on, and it did color their whole manner of living. It is not a serious thing. It's only a very mild thing. The Greek word means to lead, or to stand before to lead, see, or to attend to. Rotherham translates it presiding, one who presides over his own family. Kenneth Reist, Wall's translation, does the same. The kingdom interlineal translates to standing before. He stands before as a leader, meaning the same thing. Concordant version, literal version, translates as controlling. He's the controller. He controls it. The Berkeley translation says managing, as also does Goodspeed, Moffat, and Beck, and the NES.
Dolby's translation says conducting, to conduct, as a conductor, conduct the family. Young's little translation says leading. Now, none of this takes away the word authority. It doesn't change it. Well, okay, it takes away all the authority about ruling. No, it doesn't take away any authority whatsoever. If you preside over a group, you have authority. If you manage, if you're a manager, you've got authority. If you're the conductor, you've got authority. If you're the leader, you've got authority. But it takes it away from the petty lordship idea that could be infused in there if you didn't interpret it in light of the general tenor of the whole. This is the same Greek word that is used when it talks about the elders ruling. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 15, we find out that God hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He says, you have them that hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that he hates? Well, it comes from the word laity, meaning the people, and the word and the Greek word which means to rule over. This means the lordship over or the rule of the people. By the early popish cardinal bishop type system, which in which they became lords, kiss my ring, kiss my toe, crawl up the steps and kiss my toe, and bow and humble and tremble in my presence. That isn't how God wants a husband. It isn't how he wants the elders of the church. It's not how he wants the pastor. And he said, God hates the doctrine of this rule, lordship. And if he hates it in the church, let me tell you, he hates it in the home. He doesn't want any man to be a lord over any other man. Although he does put men in authority, and all government is under the direction of God, and he says to obey them to have the authority. They do have authority, there is obedience, and there is submission necessary, but not lordship. That belongs to him alone. Call no man father, there's one which is your father, which is in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Now, them which labor among you, see, that's horizontal, they labor among you and are over you in the Lord. They labor among you even as servants to you, doing service to you, ministering to your needs, horizontally operating among you, but are over you in the Lord. This word over you is the same Greek word as the one we just got to talking about. It means they that are set before you in the Lord. The Lord has set them before you in a position of authority, but not as lords. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter 5:3, the scripture says, for concerning the elders, each of the elders which are among you I exhort, verse 1, and then he says, to feed the flock of God, shepherd them, verse 2. And 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Don't be lords over them, but examples to the flock. Be shepherds, feed them, lead them. Shepherds lead, but not as a lord. The sheep are supposed to follow the shepherd, and he even has to correct them. But they don't bow down and worship him and kiss his toe. He's not a lord. He doesn't scream and beat him. In 1 Timothy 5:14, he doesn't vaunt himself. The shepherd's idea is not to make himself great in the eyes of the sheep. It's to lead the sheep for the sheep's benefit. Some people, if they ever get a chance to be an elder or a pastor or someone, why, they want to vaunt so that they can look great, you know. They want to dress, you know, with a black robe and immediately want to put that collar on backwards, give them more ecclesiastical bearing, regal bearing, and they want to be able to come out of the back room walking straight, and they want to be able to talk, you know, in certain tones, and they want to be so careful that they have a polished front. See, because he is now the right reverend, the man of the cloth. And all that's baloney. Truth is, he's nothing but a hunk of clay. who's willing to walk with God, but by God's mercy, called him to be a worker together with God, not worthy of the kingdom of God. But God has put him in an awesome position of responsibility and authority that he might lead his people home so he can have them to worship him. Oh, that God's people will learn. Be rid of all pride of heart and get humility and love and know the heart of God, that he might be straight in the doctrines. So many people can't find the truth. They fancy themselves champions of the word. They don't know the truth of God's word because all they can read is letters and books, and they can't read from the heart of God. Unless you've got God's heart, you can't read this book straight. Let me tell you that. First Timothy 5:14. I will, therefore. Let me throw a dent in some people's theology here. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry and bear children and guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably. You notice that the younger women are to guide the house? We've been talking about Greek words. Listen, you that like Greek word studies. I like Greek word studies because that's the language that God has chosen to put this book in. But listen very carefully. If I were to abuse my studies of Greek word studies like some people I could mention, I would very soon have women over men. They get Greek words, and they find the meaning of the Greek word that they want. See? And it means a lot of different things, and they find the word, and then they line up and find all the scholars that use that word, and they line all that up, and that looks impressive. Then they go back and look through, and then some people out in church history in days gone by, they misunderstand this, and they collect all those and line them up, and they line those up, and they find a place where they use that Greek word, and so then they take that Greek word and use it for the other, this has to mean that, and they get up, and they get a real impressive chart. Only wrong with it, isn't there a word of truth in it? It's all put together wrong, but it sure looks impressive, and you'll get a following. And the longer you teach it, the more dogmatic you get, and the more you begin to believe it. It just doesn't have to be true, that's all. Let me show you. The women are to guide the house. You know what that Greek word is for guide? It's not shepherd. It's not stand before. It's not leader. You know what it is? Oiko despatio. Comes with oikos, house, and despotes, lord, or master. Lord or master. And then I go through the scriptures and I'll find all the places tied to Jesus Christ because it is. And masters of slaves and the master of heaven. And now I've got that women are to be lords of the house. And then I can show you another scripture where men are not to be lords over other men. Even elders are not supposed to be lords, or the pastors are supposed to be lords, but the woman is to be the lord. And now all of a sudden, by careful manipulation, finding Greek scholars and words and so forth, I can put together an impressive picture to make the woman the lord, but not the men. See? And I probably, if I wanted to get out here and pound it hard enough and went out and got a separate group, I probably could get some followers for it. Mainly women, of course. Don't you women get any ideas? I can outmaneuver you, so don't try to get any ideas here. All women would like to get a hold of this information today out here on the streets. But she is to guide, direct, be the management, to be the master of that household. And it's talking about children here, not men, by the way.
Didn't say men.
No, I know it didn't say men, but you have to put all the scripture together. And you have to get scripture, balance the scripture, and not violate any scripture by putting scripture together. See? Well, brothers, for the verse says, and they say, you got to be careful how you put scripture together. You rest it to your own destruction. But if a wife follows leadership, she's given leadership. See? Now, if a man follows good leadership, he's given leadership. Often he may become an elder or a pastor. If a congregation follows leadership, they're given leadership. They may become elders and so forth. And if a child follows leadership, he's given leadership. He may lead the younger children.
But if a six-year-old gets too bossy with a three-year-old, mother reproves. Now, Christ does not do everything in his own kingdom. How many know he delegates authority? Christ delegates authority. Man is not to do everything in his own home either. He's to delegate authority. He's not to keep it all himself. He's to delegate it. He never loses his position. So he's sub-delegation. A supervisor is not to do everything in his office. He delegates authority. The secretary has authority to make some decisions. The president does not do everything in the nation. He delegates authority. You know, governors, mayors, and so forth. The governor does not do everything in his state. He delegates authority. There are mayors and other people, attorney generals, and so forth. And the general does not do everything in his army. He delegates authority. Other people have authority. This is always true. But God has not used the home. God's used the home, I mean, not the military, as a type of Christ in the church. What can a woman do in the home? What kind of authority? What kind of a position? How wide does it get? And it just may help a lot of homes to walk a lot more in harmony, have a lot more, and may increase the love, and you may fall more in love with your wife than you ever have, and lo and behold, you find her doing things for you and more in love for you, and she'll enhance your position, and you'll get brighter instead of diminishing. This truth is a paradoxical truth. Oh, he wants to take away some of the power of the manhood. No, I want to give more glory to the manhood, if you want to know. This truth will end up making the wife happier and the husband happier. It'll make less fight. It'll make the husband have a greater glory. The wife will work 10 times as hard for her husband to please him. She'll please him with less problems and less fuss. She'll do more for him. She'll undergird him. It won't take one thing away from the man. It'll just add to him. Amen. And it'll add to the wife too. God always works that way. Let me tell you. Let me show you the paradox real quick. In the church, when we finally come to a place where we submit to God out of love, willingly, and lay before God and become nothing and get off the throne and quit trying to be our own liberated woman church and let him be everything and work and have our mind and heart solely for him, doesn't it bring more glory and happiness to us? We become better Christians and his strength and infuses to us. What happens to us?
Well, we become nothing but slaves.
No, he takes you and only makes you a friend. I'll make you a son of God. He'll make you a joint heir with him. All his glory will be reflected. You'll have his power in life. You'll be so full of glory, you'll be dancing in the Spirit, and you'll be happy you've got rid of your old self. Well, what happens then? God gives authority to the church. He makes the church great. That subtracts from Christ. No, he just sees himself in more of mankind. He becomes more reflected. He has more glory. He has more honor. It's a wonderful thing, this mystery of the gospel. have a half hour to talk about all these things. Write me a note or just call me up and tell me. It only takes 5 minutes to tell me. It doesn't take an hour meeting to tell me. And then you have to worry about taking my time because I have time for these reports. You must keep me informed because before, that's what happened. I've got to go to people. If they will not obey, I've got to go and talk to them. And so you're doing me no help by hiding this information from me. Be much in prayer about this because we're going to win this thing like we won the rest of them. The devil tried to split the church up about a dozen times and he's going to keep on trying. And the only way we're going to divide it is to keep united, keep together, unless we can have a heart and keep together and not spread division. This is dynamite. Don't do it. Don't let the devil in. But don't be critical. Just let your heart go and say, I'm going to come to that church. I'm going to give my whole heart to God. It's not my business to run the church. My business is to submit myself before God, love Him with all my heart, follow God, and walk with it in the Lord, and you can be free. As soon as you realize you don't have to be pastor, you can be free. You don't have to worry about what goes on. Just come and praise the Lord and be free and leave the responsibility to me and let all color judgment come on my head if I'm wrong. You be free and just walk in the Spirit and be full of the glory of God and testify, uplift and encourage and do everything that's right and don't push anybody down and spread any problems. That is not the way the Holy Ghost leads. Encourage and move on in God. God bless you. How many can say amen?
Amen.
Thank you.